Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
All right, welcome to the show. We're going to chat with Tracy Myers from CSN Chicago in just a few minutes. The Blackhawks will face the Rangers twice in the next week. First things first, a loss at the Bark. The Rangers are still looking for their first ever win in Brooklyn. No bueno, boys.
Ooh, I'm so worried about their ever winning in Brooklyn.
Well, I think you should be more worried about the way they played over the past 10 games or so, right?
I'll tell you, I thought last night they were the better team. I thought that last night, for the most part, was one of their better performances over the last few weeks, which compared to how they've played isn't great, but I thought that they were carrying the play. I'm not saying that they should have won. They definitely made enough mistakes to lose, but I felt like they were. I was certainly not coming away from that game thinking, boy, I'm worried about the Islanders beating the Rangers.
So did you read Larry Brooks' story today?
Yeah, I mean, look.
Did you think it was fair, or do you think he went too far?
I think he went too far on Lundqvist, because the day before he wrote something about how Lundqvist always finds his game at this point in the season. So that's, that's whatever. And, Lundqvist made some mistakes. He's definitely not playing as well as he needs to. But, look, the bigger concern is Nash. If he's going to be out, that's a much bigger concern than if I'm worried that Henrik Lundqvist isn't going to find his game.
Nick, I think had Zuccarello scored a minute and a half in, huge save by Halak, 1:35 into the game. I think if Zouk scores on that shot, maybe it's a whole different game.
I think if Zouk scored on any of the four shots, it's a whole different game. That was the game where the Rangers needed him, and Zouk played. He was, I think, by far the Rangers' best forward. He just didn't have the finish that he needed. Halak seems to play pretty big against the Rangers.
14-7 lifetime against the Rangers. It's crazy. It's
weird. So I don't get Halak. And you know, some nights he looks like the goalie who led Montreal to the conference finals, and then some nights he literally couldn't stop a beach ball.
Yeah, that game in Philadelphia a couple years ago that cost the Islanders home ice. I always go back to that one.
And for some reason, against the Rangers, he's there. He was great last night.
Jimmy Vesey got a goal, so that was nice to see. But I think the turning point was Ladd's goal. Well, yes. I don't know what Hank was doing there, but I think had Ladd not scored on that, it's still a 2-1 game. But to make it 3-1.
I think that goal's on three different players. Yeah. It's on Klein for a bad pass to Hrivík. It's on Hrivík for, I don't know what that was, kicking it right to Ladd. Like, do anything but kick it right to the oncoming defender going the other way when your team's headed up ice, because all the Rangers' momentum was up ice and Ladd was coming full speed down ice. Nobody had a chance of catching him. And then anytime Hank comes out of the net, it's just not a pretty scene, especially lately. The Rangers ship's taking on a little bit of water right now, Brian. You know, all these injuries, it's hard for them to maintain the level of play that they were at. And
forwards, yes. This defense is really struggling.
Kevin
and they're healthy, so we can't even use the injuries as a crutch.
You brought up Kevin Klein last week, and since then I've really been paying attention.
He has not been good.
And I thought he was pretty good in the game against Carolina, but last night, who was it? Lee, who went around him that led to the first goal.
Yeah.
He is struggling. I feel like, and I don't know if he's playing hurt or whatever, I feel like he needs to sit for two or three games at this point. You know, let Clendening play. He can't really be worse than how Klein is playing.
And Ladd's goal, Prince goes right around Brady Shea. These guys, if you can't get into a position where you're asking Ryan McDonagh to do everything, because we're starting to see it now.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why McDonagh's the first guy on the first power play unit. This guy can't do everything.
Well,
Nick,
there's
can't.
Nobody else who could play the power play. That's the problem.
Can Holden do it, Adam?
I think he sees some power play time.
He saw some on the last power play, I think. But he's got a shot. But
I'm with you. I mean, McDonagh, his game is slipped, I think, because he is trying to take on too much.
Right.
You know, when he was great at the start of the season, obviously all of the Rangers forwards were going and the defense was better, and he could just kind of play. Now it looks like he did last year, where he's trying to be the captain everything. He's trying to lead offense. He's trying to lead defense. And it just seems like it's too much.
I don't think the defense's play has changed that much from the beginning of the year. Everyone knew that was going to be the problem. And now I think it's just more exposed because the forwards aren't as good as they were earlier in the season. I don't think the defense has fallen off a cliff from where they were 12 games into the season. They were still giving up 2-3 goals a game then.
Was Brady Shea letting guys around them left and right like we saw last night?
I thought he was bad. I thought he was really bad last night. I thought that was one of Shea's worst games. But as far sporadically, yes, they've had a few breakdowns, but I don't think it's anything different than we've seen. I think the difference is the Rangers don't have the forwards to make up for it. When Oscar Lindberg and Jesper Foster, two-thirds of your fourth line instead of being your 12th, of your third line instead of being your 12th to 13th forwards, the Rangers don't have the depth anymore.
No, they don't.
Their third line was, Miller is very good, but to put him with Lindbergh and Foss is suicide.
And now Nicholas Jensen's in the mix because we don't know how long Nash is going to be out. I mean, look, it's hard to win when you only have 10 forwards for the last 35 minutes, whatever it was, but I think they lost the game against the Islanders because the defense was brutal. It really was. Lundqvist wasn't very good, and the power play was terrible.
I didn't think the power play was terrible. I thought that
you gotta get power play, though.
Well, I thought that they created a lot of shots. And look, at the end of the day, you have to score.
Yeah, nine and a half minutes. I mean, that's the best of the game.
It was the best their power play had looked in a long time, minus that game last week where they scored two goals against the team that didn't kill penalties.
I think you could see Zibanejad's impact really starting to be felt now. The impact that he had not only at even strength with the Rangers' shot numbers coming all the way down, but on the power play, I mean, I don't think anybody in the NHL respects Derek Stepan's shot at this point on the power play. Nobody plays him. They all cheat Tapiri, and they're essentially daring Stepan to shoot, and he won't do it. Yeah. And it's tanked the Rangers' power play.
So now they go out west, Winnipeg, Chicago. These are tough games, guys. I mean, you're not too concerned. You think everything's going to be okay?
I think in the long run, they're going to be okay. I'm taking the long view of this where I still think they're a playoff team. I still think they can finish second or third in the division. I still think they're better than most of the teams behind them. I'm not sure I believe Columbus is going to stay there or the Devils. And, you know, the Islanders 2 weeks ago were dead, and now they're the greatest team in the world. So we'll see. But I think in the short term, they're going to continue to struggle. Yeah. And, you know, because they're, like you guys were saying, their depth was what was so important. And now they're down to 14, 15, and 16 forwards.
Yeah.
You know, I like Nicholas Jensen, but he's, you know, isn't one of the top
guys.
He's
a depth guy, right.
And if Nash is going to be out, Nash has been their best player.
Yeah, he has.
Zuccarello was really great last night, and he's been good for the past two games. Miller was really good. You know, they still have guys who can carry them. But it's on a lot more guys to do more and to play much tighter defense.
They have to find a way to keep their heads above water through this stretch. And a lot of that's going to fall back on Henrik Lundqvist,
really,
who, when push comes to shove, has been nowhere near the Henrik Lundqvist that you've come to expect. And we've all come to expect. And I think, look, some of it's age, and I think some of it's the equipment. As far as them making the pads smaller, I think that has had a huge effect on Henrik Lundqvist. It's changed his game. It's changed his game. He's fishing for the puck a lot more than I've ever seen him as far as looking behind him, not controlling rebounds. And I think in combination with the old age and the smaller pads, Lundqvist having a little bit of a hard time adjusting. I think he's going to be fine, but you're seeing that adjustment period
now.
It's
more the mileage than the pads, don't you, Adam?
Yeah, I can't speak to the equipment, but one of the main things that I thought the Rangers had to do this year, and they did it at the beginning, was to limit the amount of shots Lundqvist was facing and limit the amount of time they were playing in their own zone, and that hasn't happened lately. They've been terrible at doing that. And I just think that Lundqvist has had these kinds of stretches before too. He was terrible for a few stretches in past years where he looks like he's swimming around. He can't find the puck, and then ultimately, it all comes back to him being one of the best goalies in the league.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't happen through the rest of this year, then I think there's serious concern. But I still think he's been good in a lot of games. He just hasn't, you know, been really good. He hasn't been consistent.
Before we get to Tracy, what did you think of Brock Nelson's hit on Pumple? Or high stick, whatever you want to call it.
I didn't think it was that terrible. It was a hockey play. I don't think it was malicious.
Right.
Pumple was coming at him to make a hit. I don't think Nelson threw his hands up to cross-check him in the face.
Nelson hardly has a history of doing this.
No, I don't think Nelson meant to hit him in the face. I think he caught him at the last second, brought his hands up to protect himself, and Pumple just happened to skate into his stick.
Unfortunate, right? Adam Pumple's looking for a breath of fresh air. He had a goal earlier on, you know, when he first got claimed. So,
and if you look at the replay, Pumple's stick is up too as he's going towards the hit. I think it was just an unfortunate hit. I think it was the right call for 4 minutes, but I don't think there's any suspension worthy.
Huge power play that the Rangers just couldn't capitalize on. Like Adam said, they had the shots, but
they
look,
did.
At the end of the day, when you're on the power play for 9.5 minutes of a game, you've got to find a way to capitalize.
And it wasn't only the power play failing, it was then Chimera scoring 22 seconds, not even 22, like 15 seconds after.
You could see that coming a mile away as soon as they took that shot where you saw Chimera with the puck and Nelson coming. It was like, all right, I don't even need to watch this. It's 2-0 now.
We have Tracy on the phone. Hi, Tracy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I was trying to find some Soul Asylum for us to sing along to, but no dice.
Yeah, I felt like that song the other night, and it's funny, before the game at the UC last night, they played it on the main sound system, so I was very pleased.
Such a great tune. The Blackhawks continue to find ways despite all these injuries. It's pretty impressive, right?
You know what it is. You look at their game last night against Arizona, and the Coyotes are not very good this year.
Right.
And coming off their game in Columbus, another loss. You just never know what you're going to get, though, because Mike Smith has had a very nice little career against the Blackhawks. And, you know, you can take teams too lightly, and there have been times in the past where the Blackhawks have done that. But maybe because of the injuries, they know they can't. You know, because there's only so many bodies they can fall back on right now. But, you know, they kind of broke out of their offensive malaise, I guess is a good word.
That's a very good word.
You know, got a couple of goals, including a couple secondary guys. So good thing for them.
Tracy, there's one former Ranger that's having a career year out there in Chicago, and Artie Anisimov. What's the difference in his play been this season?
You know, I first of all, step from presence, and he's talked about that quite a bit. I think Patrick Kane said it best earlier this year when Anisimov was on his point streak. He said Anisimov was always in on the scoring plays. He was just usually at the front of them in terms of starting them off. You know, he would kind of send Kane and Panarin on their merry way and let them do their magic. And this year, he's at the front of the net. And he's, you know, making sure that he's a presence there. And, you know, when you get that pretty little pass last night and just redirects it through Mike Smith, I mean, that's what the Blackhawks needed, especially on their power play, which has not been good. But I think that's the biggest thing is that he was always at the net, but he's really making a difference there this year.
So they're already without Jonathan Toews. They're without Corey Crawford.
Yep.
Brent
yep.
Seabrook, what happened with him last night?
You know, it was one of those things when he first went down, when he first got tangled up, you thought, okay, but it was how he fell that didn't look so good. He kind of caught himself, you know, on the corner of the boards there and everything and was down holding his head. Is it his head? Who knows? Is it, you know, his neck? Did he kind of got jammed up there? We don't know. The Blackhawks are off today, so we'll find out more on Thursday, but... you know, Quenneville did say last night this was not a precautionary thing that they held him out. This was an injury, and he couldn't play through it last night. But, you know, Seabrook's one of the, I guess, healthiest guys. I don't want to say toughest because there's this connotation now that's building up. You know, you're not a wimp if you're not playing through something. And I don't want to say it that way because yeah. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm hurt and I can't play. But he's been pretty good through his career in terms of not many injuries. So I would not be stunned to see him out there tomorrow. But again, you know, if it's a concussion situation, you want to be very, very careful.
Is Marian Hossa ever going to slow down?
He's unbelievable.
I usually don't ask a lot of goofy questions because if you ask too many, you look like a fool.
Yeah.
But I couldn't resist last night. I had to ask Scott Darling if it's official that Marian Hossa is a cyborg. And God love Scott Darling. He played along. He said, I'd believe it. It's pretty remarkable. And you'd like to think that, yeah, he had 4 months off. He finally got an off season. I'm sure that's most of it, but at the same time, I still point to when he got that 500th career goal earlier this year. And even Hose had talked about it. It was kind of weighing on him. With everything the man has done, it's astounding that reaching one more milestone in a career that's had a lot was kind of weighing on him. And I'm sure it was also weighing on him that he didn't have a great year last year. It bothered him. You know, he's a professional, and he's been playing at such a high level for such a long time. It was frustrating for him, but you've seen a difference in him. You've seen a confidence in him that we've been used to seeing that we didn't see last year, but he's been pretty impressive this year.
Tracy, you know, it's astounding. I feel like I go on Twitter once a week and I see something about, is Marian Hossa a Hall of Famer? Where is the debate? I don't understand it.
To me, it's no question.
Right.
I personally think, I don't know, maybe people are bored. I don't know. To me, it's absolutely no question. I mean, you look at what he did even before he was winning Stanley Cups. And then you look at what he's done since he started winning those cups, and he's been such a vital part of this team.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I talk about it all the time. As great as it is when he scores, I am still more impressed, and will always be more impressed with his defensive game.
Phenomenal, yep.
I am convinced to this day that there are times where he gives up the puck just so he can take it back. because he's got the ability to do so. I've put that gif of Spaceballs up where it's just Lone Star holding, you know, Dark Helmet at a distance while he just runs away. That's Hossa when he's, you know, when he's got the puck. It's, go ahead, you can try and take it, but you're not gonna do it. Brian Bickle, quick story.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, when the Blackhawks have a rough couple of games, they go into these battle drills in practice along the boards, and you're fighting for the puck and everything, and nobody wants to face Hossa. And I asked Brian Bickle this a couple of years ago, and he said, I saw Hossa was at the start of the other line, and so I went to the back of my line because I didn't want to deal with him. That's, you know, and so if you're an opponent facing him, you can't do that. But, no, it's just, for me, you know, going back to your question, I don't think there's any question.
No.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Agreed.
Tracy, both teams are banged up right now, obviously, but two games in the next week to week and a half here. What are you most looking forward to seeing from the Rangers and really the original six matchup, some history behind it?
You know, I don't – I love these games because we don't get them that often.
Yeah.
You know, no offense to the Central Division opponents. I've seen them so many flipping times.
You love Winnipeg. Come on.
Yes. You know what? I love their new setup. I will say that.
That's
and,
cool.
And I do. I here's the other thing. I love MTS Center. It's one of my favorite buildings.
Yeah.
It is a fun, loud,
yep.
awesome atmosphere. But you know, first of all, it's New York. You gotta love New York. But you know, here are two teams that are in the same boat. They're finding ways to win. I think New York is just starting to get some injuries. Is that right? Or
oh,
they've
yeah.
been dealing
Nash
with it?
Went okay. down last night, yep.
Okay. You know, the Blackhawks have been kind of up and down with this for a little bit. Van Riemsdyk just came back. He was out a month. Tyler Motte was out a week or two. Crawford out now. Taves, we're going on 3 weeks
wow.
now. So, yeah, but you've got enough. I think you'll agree with me. I don't get to see the Rangers that often, but they've got enough of a nucleus that knows how to get them through when you know, when a situation gets tougher, when you get injuries, and that's where the Blackhawks just kind of keep on keeping on. And the other big thing is goaltending. You know, I don't have to watch Rangers too much to know what Henrik Lundqvist is doing every year. And you know, between Crawford before he got hurt and Darling, Blackhawks goaltending has been great this year.
Yeah.
That has been their main reason for where they are right now. There's absolutely no doubt. When the rest of their game has been sporadic, the goaltending has been spectacular.
Tracy, who's a guy on the Blackhawks who's kind of been flying under the radar this year that the Rangers and their fans should keep an eye on?
Oh, boy. I guess to a degree, Ponick.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been a little more up and down lately, but I thought he had a great game last night, and you know, he's the beginning of the year he was really working well because he was right there at the net when the loose pucks were, and he was capitalizing. And you were kind of seeing that last night. You know, Dennis Rasmussen got that goal in front, but it was Ponick's work that led to it. You know, he's very aggressive around the net. I think he's driven the net literally twice in the last three games. Where, you know, God help you, goaltender. Just watch out for him because he just keeps going. But it's been, if there's been a problem with the Blackhawks the last 2 years or so, obviously it's been the forward depth hasn't been where it was the cup years. And secondary scoring has not been where it needs to be. And guys like him adding have been critical, Rasmussen's and stuff like that. But, you know, for a guy that they picked up in a minor league deal last year, you know, Ponick's done all right this year.
Salary cap will test their depth, that's for sure. Tracy, great stuff. We appreciate it. I'll see you next week.
Sounds good, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Tracy. Tracy Myers does a great job for CSN Chicago. You can follow her on Twitter at Trey Myers, CSN.
the Blackhawks, no matter what, they just keep finding ways, whether it's injuries, whether it's salary cap crunches, no matter what, they find ways to win.
They are the model organization top down, starting with, you know, Stan Bowman. Scotty Bowman still does stuff with them, and then Quenneville's one of the best coaches.
They just have four. I mean, their quartet of elite players, as far as Taze, Keith, Seabrook, and Kane, are maybe the most enviable core in the NHL.
They're a fun team to watch. The Islanders are starting to be a fun team to watch, right, Adam?
We'll see.
Come on.
They had to be better than they were. Right. I think you're starting to see it. I don't know where they are. Nelson and Lee couldn't be that bad for that long. They are bona fide NHL players, and Strome's in that class as well. Halak looks like he's starting to find his game, if I'm correct.
He's been good.
And
last week against Washington, he
has been good. I remember a week or two ago, there was a debate. I think it was last week. Grice beat Pittsburgh, and then they wanted to start him back-to-back.
We debate about this every week.
And Halak came in. Yeah, Halak. Look, I think Halak has to be the guy there, and he's starting to show that.
You can check out the Islanders Plank Bike Podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We're going to talk about the Islanders' win against the Rangers on Tuesday night at the Bark. Subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Plank Bike Podcast, along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. Marek Hrivík made his season debut for the Rangers against the Islanders. What'd you think of his game, Adam?
I think he is what he is. Right. He's a bottom six player. He's a nice guy in Hartford. I thought he had a chance at making the team, and, you know, I don't expect a lot from him.
Our condolences to Michael Grabner, who lost his grandmother. That's why he did not play against the Islanders. It would have been nice to see him go up against his former team, especially with the season that he's had leading the Rangers with 13 goals.
Yeah, I think the Rangers missed his presence, but I think they did the right thing. I mean, if you're a family guy, and it seems like Grabner is, to be able to go back home and be with your family in a time of need like that, I think was a nice gesture by the Rangers.
Looks like it's going to be another 2 to 3 weeks without Pavel Buchnevich. They really need him back in the mix here, Adam.
They do. And I think he's a talented player, but all this talk about him, he's missed more games than he's played.
Yeah, but he's got 8 points in 10 games, right, or something?
He was on that four-game goal streak. Yeah. And, you know, he's definitely talented, and hopefully he comes back good. But, you know, he's of the guys who they could be missing. I put him at the bottom of that compared to Zibanejad and possibly Nash.
I'd agree with that. I think he's the hardest value to quantify as far as just how much the Rangers are missing him, because – you don't know, you know, like we said, 8 points. He was on that four game goal streak. He had moments before that. He had games where he was invisible. He's a rookie. I think, though, he is missing valuable minutes right now that the Rangers need him to play. I mean, the fact of the matter is, especially if they're going to make a playoff push, and we know Vigneault doesn't always trust his younger players. You got to see what this kid is this season, and he's got to be back sooner than later at this point, especially with all the injuries now.
It's pretty impossible to keep up the 5-goal-a-game pace when these guys are dropping like flies. It's unbelievable.
But Michael Grabner keeps scoring.
He does. 13 goals. How many is he going to finish with? 35? What do you think?
I'd say if he scored 25, I think it would be...
That's a hell of a year.
Yeah. If he ends up with 20 to 22, I wouldn't be disappointed.
When can we anticipate seeing Zibanejad back? He's still in a boot, isn't he?
Probably 4 to 6 more weeks.
This is bad.
It's not great for the Rangers.
They have to find different ways to win right now. That's the biggest thing, is they're not going to be able to outscore teams with all these injuries. They might have to alter the defense again as far as the playing style, and maybe become more of a counterpunch team, because you can't keep leaving them exposed, especially if Hank isn't at the top of his game.
And here's the thing about Zibanejad. He went through a long stretch of not playing that great before he got hurt.
Right.
Now, sure, you miss his presence in the lineup, and he was starting to score, but he wasn't like... It wasn't like the first four games of the season where he looked like the best player in the world.
Yeah.
So who needs to, if Nash is out for an extended amount of time, who's the guy that needs to pick it up?
Chris Kreider.
I would agree with that.
I agree. I think Zouk needs to finish a few of those chances against the Islanders. And the one guy for me that all year has left me wanting a little bit more Stepan.
Yeah, he hasn't done a whole lot offensively.
I think we just need more. He's got to become a threat on the power play. You know, he's in the trigger man spot where Zibanejad was. He's got to pull it once in a while.
The guy who has to step up is your guys' boy, Brandon Peary, who hasn't scored in about 300 games.
It's been a while.
And who yesterday, the announcers were talking about, they need someone to shoot the puck. And I was thinking, well, that's why they signed Brandon Peary. And he did start shooting later in the game. But he's got to be the guy, even if four guys are going to him on the power play.
Yeah, I think that's where on the power play you're seeing the biggest loss of Zibanejad, is because teams are cheating to Peary now, because they're not afraid of Stepan's one-timer, and he doesn't take it ever.
You know who I didn't notice against the Islanders? Kevin Hayes. Didn't even notice him.
Yeah, he was definitely, I think, the third player on that line last night.
He had one shot
before Nash got hurt.
In 18 and a half minutes.
Yeah, he didn't, you know, his game's been up and down a little bit, but, you know, he's been more than good enough this season.
But they need more from him if Nash is going to be out for an extent.
They
right?
need more from everyone. At this point, like, Jimmy Vesey's luckily starting to play well. Yeah. Zuccarello's game has come up. Stepan had 3 points the other day. You know, there are guys who are there to step up. They just need to do it.
More on the D, right, than the forwards? Even I know Nash is a forward, but they need more from the guys on that blue line.
They got to play better, but I think a lot of it's – I mean, the forward – the offensive production isn't there as far as the offensive zone time right now, and the defense isn't good enough to make up for that. So it's kind of a pick your poison. Do you go all in on offense to try and keep the puck more so it's not in your own zone, or do you, you know, dial down the offense a little bit so Hank's a little bit more protected and you help the defense a little more? Look, they're in a tough spot. Vigneault has to adjust. I think some of this is now on him to push the right buttons, find the right combinations again. I mean, look, Brandon Peary cannot be on the fourth line when Jesper Foss and Oscar Lindberg are on the third. He's, at this point, like you said, he needs to do more. Can we see him in the top six? Getting minutes in a scoring role when the team needs goal scorers?
You agree with that?
Yeah, and I think he's gotten more minutes. He was definitely in a higher role recently, but they're with everyone being out, and the Rangers are also, like, you put the offensive guys with the responsible guys, you know, it's still Alain Vigneault seems hesitant to really try and go full offensive bore. You know, by putting together like Peary, Zuccarello, and like Kreider,
gotta find
VC
the balance right among the four lines.
He's been tough. He's had a hard time adjusting to the injuries. The lines have been all over the place. I don't know a line that stuck together for more than three games in the last 10, 15.
Watching the Islanders, I'm used to that.
There was a point yesterday where I was like, I don't even remember what the lines were on Saturday because they were so different from what they were last week.
Yeah.
How about this? Ranta against Winnipeg or Ranta against his former team? What do you
think? I'd put Ranta in against Chicago.
Yeah?
I agree.
I want to see Lundqvist bounce back after.
Right away.
Yeah.
And I think that's the more winnable game, if you will.
And I think,
especially right now. I think you got to lock
Patrick
down Winnipeg.
Line is so
if I'm
good.
Not mistaken, Ranta played against Winnipeg this season, I think.
I believe you're right, yeah.
So I'd let Lundqvist go there.
Great show, boys. I'll see you next week.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks again to Tracy Myers. Enjoy the games later this week, and we'll see you soon.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.